as he thinks. Elder Howard W. Hunter, Howard W. Hunter, Conference Report, April 1960, pages 124-126. Since the beginning, God has given to every man the power to control his thoughts. He has also given men the freedom to select the course in life he wishes to pursue. When Adam was placed in the Garden of Eden, the Lord commanded him, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." Although Adam was thus admonished not to partake of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, nevertheless he had the right to think for himself and the right to make his own choice. Scriptures are replete with God's promised blessings to us if we will keep his commandments and comply with his laws, but it is a fundamental principle that we are never compelled to do his will. In ancient times the Lord commanded Israel to keep all of his commandments with the promise of an abundant harvest if they would do so, but in the event they failed, his wrath would be kindled against them. He said, "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse, a blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord, your God, which I command you this day, and a curse, if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods, which ye have not known." So it has been down through the ages. Although God has pointed the way, he has given to all men the right to think for themselves and make their own choices. Marcus Aurelius once said, "A man's life is what his thoughts make of it." Emerson said, "A man is what he thinks about all day long." Man's mind may be likened unto a flower garden. It can be a thing of beauty and inspiration to the gardener and all who may gaze upon it, or it may be ill-kept and overrun with weeds. As the plant which produces the beautiful flower grows from a seed, so every act of man springs from the hidden seed of thought. As a being of power and intelligence, and master of his own thoughts, man has the divinely given ability to make of himself what he chooses to be. Dr. Robert A. Millikan, well known in the circles of science, and once winner of the Nobel Prize, made this significant statement: "I think you will not misunderstand me when I say that I have never known a thinking man who did not believe in God." George Washington, whom we revere as the father of our country, had a deep and abiding faith in God. Abraham Lincoln, on many public occasions, made it known that his actions were motivated by his firm belief in God. We will recall that Jesus was asked, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." As man's thoughts turn to God and the things that pertain to God, man undergoes a spiritual transformation. It lifts him from the commonplace and gives to him a noble and godlike character. If we have faith in God, we are using one of the great laws of life. The most powerful force in human nature is the spiritual power of faith. Jesus said, "According to your faith be it unto you, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." God is our Father, and we are his children. From father to child there exists that same natural parental love that is expressed by our Heavenly Father for his children. When the prodigal boy, in that parable which most perfectly tells the story of the sinning and repentant life, came to himself, his first words were, "I will arise and go to my father." While he is yet afar off, the waiting father sees him coming and is moved with compassion. Repentance is but the homesickness of the soul, and the uninterrupted and watchful care of the parent is the fairest earthly type of the unfailing forgiveness of God. The family is, to the mind of Jesus, the nearest of human analogies to that divine order which it was his mission to reveal. Fathers and mothers have a great responsibility with respect to the children which are entrusted to their care. One of the greatest needs of the day is for parents to teach and encourage young people to conduct themselves according to Christian standards. In the book of Proverbs we find this admonition to parents: "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." The greatest training that can be given to a child is that which comes from the example of parents. Parents need to set the example for young people to follow. Great strength comes from the home where righteous principles are taught, where there is love and respect for each other, where prayer has been an influence in the family life, and where there is respect for those things that pertain to God. The Christian family gets its unity and stability, not by outward regulation, but by the natural processes of its inward life. It has its troubles and sorrows and they draw hearts together. It has its joys, and they are multiplied by being shared. As the children are taught the lessons concerning their Heavenly Father and the truths of the Gospel, and of the Son whose return the Father is waiting. They will interpret these truths as Jesus prompted them to do, in the language of their own loving and united home. Young people need to be taught by parents in the home to have the desire to live clean lives and have clean thoughts. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. This often quoted line from the book of Proverbs is as applicable to youth as to old age and should be a reminder to parents that the acts and conduct of young people are motivated by their thoughts. I am deeply impressed by the great youth program of the church which I have the honor to represent. Thousands of young people across our nation are meeting in fireside groups of their own age where they are discussing among themselves, under the guidance of their leaders, the problems of modern-day youth, such problems as drinking, smoking and going to questionable places, dating, chaperonage, courtship, kissing, petting, proper use of the automobile, morality, honesty, clean living, and many other things which will have a permanent effect on their lives as they grow to face marriage and parenthood. As our young people discuss these problems and arrive at their solutions, after applying the moral principles of Christianity, they find strength in their resolutions to live the clean life their Heavenly Father would have them live. The whole idea behind this program is to help young men and young women develop right thinking for their guidance so that they will not make mistakes, in order that parents and children may better understand each other. A plan has been adopted by the church known as the Family Council. This council is called and conducted by the parents and attended by all members of the family. It strengthens family ties, assures children they belong and convinces them that the parents are interested in their problems. This family meeting teaches mutual respect for each other, eliminates selfishness, and emphasizes the golden rule in the home and living a clean life. Family worship and prayer are taught, together with the lessons of kindness and honesty. The problem of the family usually confronts one at such close range that its real dimensions and significance are not easily appreciated. But when families are strong and united in the endeavor to serve God and keep His commandments, many of our modern-day problems disappear. The world would be a better place to live if we would think and act as God would of us do. This should be a personal challenge to every man and woman, and every father and mother, to live according to the commandments of God and be an example for good to boys and girls in their years of growing up. They are the most happy whose lives have been dedicated to the endeavor of making the world a better place to live by raising the standards of thought and action. This can only be done by strict observance to the laws which God has laid down for the conduct of man in this mortal existence. I know that God lives. I bear witness that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that He is the Savior of the world, having given His life as the great sacrifice that we might have life everlasting. He is your personal Savior and my personal Savior. If we will open our hearts to His presence and accept of Him, our lives will be enriched by the joy and happiness that comes only to those who do so receive Him. May righteous thoughts control our lives so that we may always make choices according to the will of God. I humbly pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.